this is Steve. This podcast is all about making the gospel relevant to your life. That means discovering the good news of Jesus, no matter what you're going through today. Does your life roar with power and purpose? Or does it whimper because of the circumstances that you face every day? All of us face difficulty and strife and pain and hurt and circumstances that cause us to be beaten down, but this series is all about you seeing your life the way God sees it, as a change agent for the kingdom of God. It's about seeing your life through the eyes of a lion. We're starting this new series today called Seeing Your Life Through the Eyes of a Lion. And I gotta say, it's great to be back. It feels like it's been a month since I've been here. Oh, wait. It has been a month since I've been here. Yeah, it's been a long time, and I'm just really, really glad to be here. I missed you. I just got to say, I missed you. Can I confess? I missed you. And it's great. Thank you. That's really nice of you to lie to me. I really, really missed being here. We talked about it a lot, and it's just so good to be back. But I got to tell you, our first half of the year has been a difficult first half. Can you believe we're now in the second half of 2019? Barely. This is the first Sunday in the second half of 2019, and our first half was just tough. It's been a tough first half for the Dusick family. You know, we started the year off with my mom and dad crammed into our house. Those poor people lived in our basement for a while we were waiting for their house to get done. And so things were difficult around the house. My dad was at the time recovering from an injury that he had sustained, and it was kind of a crazy thing. And Sherry and I, we were just working crazy, unsustainable hours at that point. It was leave early before it was light and get home late after it was dark. And it was just, it was unsustainable. And we had my daughter's upcoming wedding looming over us. We were working a lot extra to be able to save money because our goal was to pay for the wedding before the wedding, you know, and not for years after. So, you know, we had all this going on, and we were exhausted when it got started. And in January, Sherry and I would say to each other, the second half of 2019 is going to be better than the first half. Second half, mom and dad will be in their house. Dad will be well from his injury. The wedding will have happened. And we can catch a break. The second half will be better than the first half. That's what we said in January. And then in March, on that Sunday between church services, a lot of you guys know my mom and dad were in that terrible car accident right out here on 515. We didn't think they were gonna make it. And they spent a month down in Kennesaw, and everything, all the crazy just went out the window. We just had to shelve everything and focus on that for a little while. And mom and dad in their recovery process, you know, Sherry's dad, meanwhile, was not recovering. We started the year off with him being in a downward spiral. And in January and February, we had to make trips to go down to Florida because something bad just happened. So we had to go see her dad. And in March, that continued. In April and May, that just continued as her dad continued that downward spiral. He got worse and worse. Then our longtime family dog died. Yeah, you know, I mean, I always used to be like, yeah, it's a dog. But then you have one for 15 years, and then it dies, and you realize you lose a family member. You know what that's like. And just things were just crazy for us all leading up to June. And in the last four weeks, I went to youth camp with the teenagers. And just so you know, just ask me sometime how many hours of sleep you get at youth camp. So I went to youth camp and then went straight from there to Ocala, Florida, where Sherry's dad is, because it was another one of those, okay, it's going to happen, it's going to happen, you better get here. And so I went to Ocala and spent some unplanned time there. And then my daughter's wedding was beautiful in Florida. We had that beautiful wedding, and the family was there, and mom and dad were there, and dad officiated the wedding. So it was really good. Yeah, really, really good. Praise the Lord. And Sherry's father passed away the following day, right after that. And then we went on we just got away for a week just to kind of catch our breath for a little bit. And it is good to be home. It is really good to be home. And we are really feeling like the second half of our year is going to be better than the first half. Some of you are still in your first half. I know some of you have been going through a season of pain and difficulty that makes what we've gone through pale in comparison. I know some of you are dealing with loss and pain. You are struggling, and it seems like it's never going to end. I know some of you have been dealing with loss of job, and it's not like loss of a temporary job. You've kind of lost your career all of a sudden, maybe your sense of identity. Some of you are struggling with the pain of divorce, and I can't even imagine what that's like. Some of you are struggling with loneliness. I just can't tell you how many response cards I've gotten recently about loneliness and isolation and the pain of that in an ongoing way. Some of you have recently dealt with the loss of a loved one. And I just can't even begin to imagine how that's got to be, you know? I mean, it's one thing to lose a dad, but it's a whole other thing to lose a spouse or a child. And I just can't imagine. I can't imagine what you are going through. And that's my heart for this series, is for us to just deal a little bit with that, to say that we're in a tough season. We've been in a tough season, but that there is incredible power by facing impossible pain.
Yeah, that's right.
There is incredible power there. It's there for you to experience. You don't have to walk through the pain without purpose. You don't have to walk through the pain without hope if you can see your life through the eyes of a lion. And that's what I want us to be able to do over the next few weeks. And I hope that this series will flood your heart with light and flood your heart with hope, and that you'll be able to see what he has in store for you and the greatness of his power, and that you'll experience unspeakable joy, because that's what God, the lion, wants for you. And I know some of you are sitting here right now and you've probably already tuned me out. You know, you've probably already disengaged a little bit. Because you're thinking to yourself, okay, I'm not going through that. I don't have to deal with all that right now. It's cool. I'm cool. I'm floating along good. Don't mess me up, okay? You know, and I understand that. And I just want to challenge you. Don't sit this one out. You're in the perfect place, as a matter of fact, for this message series, because we all know that it's not if, it's when. Right, all of us deal with this at some point in our life, most of us multiple points in our lives. We go through this suffering, this pain, this hurt, all of us do, and the time to train is before the game. Right? Am I right? You don't want to be trying to figure out your plays once the clock is running. You don't want to get dropped in the middle of the ocean alone and then have to try to figure out how to swim. Right? So just lean into this for these next few weeks. Lean into this and be part of it, because I really believe that God wants to do something incredible in you and through you. So here's what I want to start. I want to start off talking today about being hidden in plain sight. That's kind of what we're talking about today. Hidden in plain sight. Hidden in plain sight. See, here's what I want to say is we don't even always know what we're looking at. Right? I mean, you look around and you see what's going on. You're dealing with the hurt. You're dealing with the pain. You're dealing with whatever's going on, and you don't even always know what you're looking at. In 2011, the residents of this quiet little Santa Monica, California neighborhood felt like they knew who their neighbor was. This old man and his wife had moved in a few years earlier, and everybody was just thought he was the nicest guy, just like anybody else had moved into the neighborhood, a retired old man, looking to kind of wrap up his life. Very nice. Everybody waved and smiled and said hi to him. Everyone knew that he and his wife were willing to take in stray cats. You know, I mean, it's just a nice, quiet family, a husband and wife. And everybody thought they knew what they were looking at. They didn't know that this retired man was actually Whitey Bulger, former mob boss from Boston. And they didn't know that he was number two on the FBI's most wanted list. He was, at the time, second only to Osama bin Laden. They had no idea that this quiet, peaceful, happy-looking neighbor of theirs was wanted for 20 murders. They had no idea that he had a stash of guns and grenades in his house, and that he had over $800,000 hidden in his walls. They had no idea what they were looking at. They thought they knew, but they could only see a small part of the big picture. In fact, that's the first blank on your page. We can only see a small part of the big picture, right? We can only see a small part. The way we see is pretty simple, right? I mean, we all had second grade biology on this, right? We know how we see. It's simple. Our eyeballs open and light passes through our cornea and goes into our pupil where it's focused by a lens to bounce off of the tissue in the back of our eyes. That tissue in the back of our eyes is called our retina, right? It's the photo sensor of our bodies. And our eyes are amazing things. When electromagnetic energy enters our eyes, it allows us to see. And the more electromagnetic energy that comes in other words, the more light that comes in other words, the brighter it is, the more we can see, right? We can't see very well in the dark, but when more electromagnetic energy flows into our eyes, the better we can see. And when we can see fully, we can see this amazing full spectrum of visible light, right? You remember this, right? We can see all these millions of colors with our eyes when they are engaged with electromagnetic energy. Right? It's amazing. We can see everything. And we think when we're looking around and it's bright, we think we can see everything and we know what we're looking at. But it's only been in the last 120 years or so that we've begun to figure out that this entire spectrum of visible light that we can see is actually only a very, very small sliver of all of the electromagnetic energy that's out there. We can only see a very, very narrow, slim little bit of it. But there's so much more going on that we don't even know, that we can't even perceive. And we're now able to create machines and devices that help us see into these other areas. Aren't you grateful for technology and science? Because now we can look inside your body and see what's going on there. We can look to the distant stars and see what's going on there in ways that we never could with just our eyes. There's so much more happening all around you all the time that you can't even see. We can just see a small part of the big picture. And I think it's the same spiritually. I think God is up to something huge. I think God's got a big plan for you, and you can't even see it right now. Especially if you're dealing with pain, if you're dealing with hurt, if you're dealing with the weight of these burdens in your life that you can't hardly manage, it's hard to see what God is really up to in your life. That's why Paul writes to the church at Corinth, and he says this in 2 Corinthians. He says, so we don't look at the troubles that we see now. We don't really focus too much on this narrow little sliver. It's amazing how Scripture lines up with what we're still just trying to figure out. We fix our gaze on those things that cannot be seen, that much more that's going on out there. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see, the things that God's really up to, the big work that He's doing, that will last forever. Way too often we have our eyes closed. We can't see what God sees. And it's because of what happened in that garden. Right? It's because of what happened in that garden. You know, God had created this vast universe. He'd flung the stars into their positions, this incomprehensibly large thing, so that He would do whatever work He wants to do in this vast expanse. And it was beautiful. And he put us right somewhere in the middle of it, right on this little speck. He put us right there in this garden. And he walked with us. Amen. He walked with us. He talked with us. You know, it was in that walking and that talking, that being near him, that we could be connected to what he was really doing. We could be connected to the much bigger, much greater. We could somehow, just a little bit through him, see what was really going on. And he told us, as we walked with him, he told us that if we choose to separate from him, if we choose to disobey him, if we choose to go in a different direction than he was walking, that it would separate us. It would break that relationship, that we would cease to have that connection into that greater world, that greater plan that he has. He told us not to disobey him, because it would make us spiritually dead, spiritually unable to see what he has in store for us. He told us. We heard that. But then God's word was immediately challenged by the enemy, right? The serpent shows up in the garden and says, hey, why don't you eat from that one tree? That one tree of all the trees that you can eat from, why don't you eat from that one little tree that God told you not to eat from? And they were like, oh, God told us not to eat from that tree, or we'll die. We'll be spiritually dead. And you know what the serpent's response was. Genesis 3 tells us, he says, you won't die. You won't die. In fact, he tells us the opposite of the truth. He says, God knows that if you eat from this tree, that your eyes will be opened, that you will see for yourself everything. You'll be like God, knowing both good and evil. Satan promised that our eyes would be open, and we gave in, man. We sold out to his lie. And the opposite happened. Our eyes were closed. Yeah. And we cannot now see him. We are no longer near him. It's so hard now to see what he's about. It's so hard to be connected to his greater power and his greater purpose. It's hard for us, especially when you're going through the valley of the shadow of death. Especially when you're going through isolation and loneliness. Especially when you've just lost someone close to you that you love. We can't see it. Our eyes were closed. And sin, disobeying God, caused our lives to shrivel, to grow small. And our lives became focused on that little tiny sliver, the things that we can see here, the things we can touch here, feel here, what feels right now. And our lives became so small. Our purpose became so insignificant, leading nowhere, because we can no longer see his big picture, all because of what happened in the garden. But the good news is that the solution to that problem came in another garden. Yeah. Right? Because Jesus, the Son of God, comes to this world and he goes to the cross and he dies when we should have died. Yeah. He died physically so that we could be made alive spiritually. He took the payment for our sin. He took the punishment for that, paid it in full, and he died in our place, and he was buried in that garden tomb. Amen. And 3 days later, in that same garden, he rose from the dead. His life now is all about stepping into your life and coming alive in you and giving you new life in him, so that your eyes can for real be opened spiritually, so that you can be connected to God's power and his purpose. That's what he's all about in your life. Are you connected to him? Amen. Can you see it? Because that's what he wants for you. If you trust him, if you give your life to him, I don't mean just once, but if you're always giving your life to him, that's called faith. It's called trusting him. Even though the things around you seem to tell you, seem to say that what I see, it hurts. What I see doesn't make sense. What I see, this kind of stinks. But I trust that God's got something better. I trust that there's something bigger going on that I can't quite see. We can see into his eternal plan when we trust him. That's the next blank on your page. Eternity becomes visible by faith. Eternity becomes visible by faith. We can truly see his purpose. We can truly see his plan when we learn to trust him. Because faith is sort of like a telescope. It lets us see the unseen even in the dark. Remember when the Hubble Space Telescope was first launched and it went up there and they set it all up and everything and the first pictures that came back, remember it was blurry? All these millions and millions and millions of dollars invested into this Hubble Space Telescope that was going to fly above the atmosphere and take these crystal clear pictures, and they were blurry. And they had to invest billions of dollars in a rescue mission, where the astronauts went up there, had to do 5 separate spacewalks to install new lensing on the space telescope so that it could, in fact, take some clear pictures and send them back to us. And it was a success. They were able to clarify its vision, and it's been really good for science. They've discovered incredible things since then. And early in that operational phase of its life, after they fixed it, it was proposed that they take the Hubble Space Telescope, can't even talk right, and they find a spot in the sky that's dark, and you love getting ahead of me, don't you, Larry? They want to find a spot in the dark and point the Hubble Space Telescope at just a little spot, a tiny spot between the stars, into the darkness where nothing seems to be, and point that telescope there and take a picture and just see what they could come up with. So they found a spot, a little tiny, tiny spot, so small that to scale with the moon, it's about that size. Like if you held a grain of sand at arm's length, that's the size of the spot that they took a picture of between the stars. And they opened that telescope and they just exposed it to that light for 100 hours and they waited to see what would come out. A lot of the scientists were against this idea. They thought it was stupid. What a waste of taxpayer dollars. There's nothing there. Why waste money, waste observation time on blackness? It's going to come back dark, don't you know? Because we can see what we can see. We know what we're looking at. But after 100 hours, they closed the space telescope and they retrieved the data. And this is the result. Wow. This is about half of the picture that the Hubble returned from that one experiment. And what they saw here, every single dot of light represents a galaxy. Not stars, galaxies, each composed of billions of other stars. No one had ever seen this before, and what they discovered on that day in 1995 was that the universe was, in fact, far larger than we ever dreamed it could be. And they were blown away. Is it possible? Is it possible that God is actually up to something bigger than you and I realize?
Amen.
And is it possible that he wants to do something bigger in and through you? God has a great plan for your life, and you can't even see it yet. That's why Paul writes to that same church in Corinth. He says that we live by believing, not by seeing. You can't always trust what you see. You can't always trust what's immediately around you. There is something more out there that God has for you. And as bad as it feels right now, God will work it out for the good. Everything that you feel like is surrounding you right now is actually surrounded by God. And he is the one that's in charge, and he has a plan. The way I always say it to my family, when things don't work out like I think they're going to work out, when things don't happen the way I want them to happen, and when there's hurt and pain and grief and confusion and chaos in my life, the way I always say it is that God's plan is always better than my plan. Because I thought I had a plan. I thought we were going to do this, and then do this, and then do this. I thought I had a plan, but nope, car accident between church services. Nope, Sherry's dad passes away. Nope, there's another giant expense here. Nope, there's another problem there. God's plan is bigger than my plan, and it's better than my plan. I think I know what we're doing, but God is really in control. That's why Paul says this to that same church. He says, now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror. But then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now, this little tiny sliver of all that I know now, it's partial and incomplete. But then I will know everything completely, just as God now knows me completely. Amen. Trust him. You can trust him. He's up to something even bigger than you can see right now. You can trust him. Now, listen to me. I'm not saying that faith is all about living in denial of your circumstances. Dude, you're going through some crud. Okay? I mean, it's okay to say it. You're going through some crud. It's okay to admit. I'm not talking about living in denial and putting on church face. How are you doing? Great. How are you doing? Great. Right? Come on. I'm not talking about living in denial. I'm not talking about lying to yourself and to others. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying that no matter what happens, the same God that walked with Adam in the garden walks with you today.
Yeah. Amen.
And he will continue to stick with you all the way through whatever it is that's going on. And he is the one with the plan. It's hard to have that kind of faith sometimes. It's hard to see our lives that way because we're so nearsighted. We can only see that sliver. We can only see what's right here, right now. Right? I mean, we're kind of slaves to our appetites. What we think we want, what we think we need today, right now. And we can't really see past it. We're so nearsighted. You know, but lions are farsighted. Lions are great at having long-range vision. And I think that God's plan for you and for me is to have enough faith to be able to look through the immediate circumstances beyond to his long-range vision for you. So what we have to do is we have to correct our nearsightedness. Anybody here nearsighted? Anybody here? Okay, first of all, how many people wear glasses like I do? How many people wear glasses? Don't be scared. You can put your hands up. Let me see my glasses, people out there. Yeah, all right. How many people are nearsighted? In other words, you can see up close, but you need glasses for far away. Let me see. Okay, good, 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 good. All right, so, you know, if you can't see far away, you have to get glasses in order to drive. Please wear your glasses when you're driving. Please. And so that's what you do. At some point, you went to the eye doctor, and the eye doctor gave you the test, and you had to cover this eye and cover that eye, or they put you on the machine where it covers your eyes, right? And they determined what your visual range was, and the eye doctor gave you a prescription, and you ordered glasses, and you had to wait a few days. Remember that? I had to wait a few days for those glasses to come in. They finally arrived, and you opened up your brand new glasses, and you put them on, and suddenly trees had leaves. Right? You know what I'm talking? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah, okay. And you were amazed at what you could suddenly see. Now I don't have the near, I'm the old man glasses. I can't see very well up close, and I can see farther away. But here's what I've learned about corrective lenses. I learned this because I got my corrective lenses, I don't know, about 10 years ago. And I got them out like you did yours, and I opened them up and I put them on, and I could see. And here's what I found out. They weren't a cure. They weren't a cure. Like, I didn't put them on and be like, I've been healed, praise the Lord. Now I can see forever because I put on the corrective lenses and now my vision is good forever and I never have to wear them again. Right? It doesn't work that way. When you're nearsighted, when you have a visual problem, you always need correction. Right? You always need to be correcting that vision. You have to keep correcting it all the time till you get older and it gets worse and you have to re-correct it again, right? And it's just the way that works. And let me tell you something. Life is a battle of lenses. You know, CNN's got their lens. Fox News has their lens, and the truth is on neither lens. Am I right? Neither lens has the full truth, and you got to kind of try to figure it out as best as you can. But let me tell you something. You are living your life through some sort of lens right now. Are you in a place where you can always have the way you live corrected by the truth of God's word? Because I guarantee you, you're living by some lens. It may be the lens of your favorite sitcom or your favorite news channel. Maybe it's the lens of how you grew up or the bad marriage you were in. Maybe it's the lens of what your friends think or how you look at your bank account. Right? I mean, it's all a battle of lenses, and I promise you, the enemy is happy for you to use any lens you want except for the one true lens of God's word. So are you in a place where you are constantly able to get that corrective lens? Because see, here's the truth of the matter. It turns out that the battle for our vision is actually in our ears, right? Right? In fact, let me just go to the next blank real quick. Nearsightedness needs constant correction. Did I get that one? Nearsightedness needs constant correction. And the battle for our eyes is really in our ears. In Romans, it says that faith comes from hearing. The lens for our vision comes through our ears. Faith comes from hearing the good news about Christ. If you want to see the bigger picture that God has for you, it's through here. You see it through hearing the word of God. Are you correcting your vision all the time? Because everything else is fighting to let you see life through their lens. I just want to challenge you. Always be vision lens correcting. Always be lens correcting. I just want to challenge you. Be in good, godly, biblical teaching any chance you get. Be in a life group. I know a lot of our life groups are off right now for the summertime, but they're going to be kicking up next month. And I'm telling you, that's where the rubber hits the road. We take God's word, we study it deeply, and we apply it into our lives. Life groups are so important for that. One of the things I do, I love two apps on my phone that I use that all the time. I use the podcasts app, and I listen to people teaching the word. I listen to an expository teaching podcast. It's not a preacher, not talking to a crowd of people. They're just right now going through 2 Peter and taking it apart, word by word, verse by verse, and I listen to that when I'm driving, when I'm walking the dog. This morning, I was at the gym, because I'm trying to get back into my good routines. So I went to the gym this morning, and while I'm pushing weights around, I had the other app I love, the Bible app, on my phone. Yeah, and there's 1,000 reading plans. The reading plans in the Bible app are fantastic. Whatever you're going through, there is a Bible reading plan in the Bible app for you. It's great. But this morning, I wasn't doing that. I had the Bible app open, and while I was trying to push some weights around, I was on the Bible app, and I just had the audio part, and it was just reading. It was reading James and 1 and 2 Timothy to me this morning while I was doing what I was doing. I just always want to be lens correcting. I always want to be vision correcting. I always want to put myself in a position where I'm hearing the truth of God's word so that I'm seeing like he sees. So that I'm able to see my life the way he wants me to see my life. Faith comes from hearing. So next blank on your page, in order to see what he sees, we must hear what he says. In order to see what he sees, we must hear what he says. Be there, be under godly teaching, be always exposing yourself to God's word. When you let God give you that supernatural lens correction, that supernatural vision, you'll be able to receive supernatural strength from him to deal with whatever you're going through. That's why you open up the book of Hebrews and you read the list of the heroes of faith. You know, he goes through and he just lists out all these heroes of faith, all these people that just trusted God. They saw the bigger picture, even though they couldn't see it, they saw it. And then after he gives that list of the heroes of faith, here's what he says about them. The writer of Hebrews says, by faith, these people overthrew kingdoms. They ruled with justice, and they received what God had promised them. They shut the mouths of lions, quenched the flames of fire, and escaped death by the edge of the sword. Their weakness was turned to strength, and they became strong in battle and put whole armies to flight. Dude, that's living life through the eyes of a lion, right? And don't you want this to be your story? Don't you want this faith story to be your story? I think Ryan's the only one. Everybody else is like, what time is it? Faith taps you into the power of God. Faith taps you into purpose from God. Faith taps you into peace that passes all understanding. Faith taps you into the unspeakable joy that you can't even begin to imagine when you're in your worst pain. It's faith. It's trusting Him. It's hearing Him and knowing Him. That's how we cultivate our faith. The more you set your eyes on Him, the more you can see. The more you set your eyes on Him, the more power you have to run with endurance this marathon of a race that we're all running right now. The more you fix your eyes on Him, the more you'll know that you are not alone. Amen. That Jesus is with you and that He loves you. And He has a great, great, unseen, yet unseen work that He is doing in and through you. You can live that life of purpose and power, even though you're going through maybe the darkest valley that you're in now. Trust Him. Have your ears open. Have your lens corrected. And listen to the Word of God and learn to lean hard into Him, because it's the last blank on your page. Seeing the invisible, you can do the impossible. Amen. Seeing the invisible, you can do the impossible. God, that's my prayer for everybody in this room today, that today, they would stop relying on the things that they can see. That today they would walk away from what common sense and from what every other lens would tell them is real. And Lord, they would begin to trust You for what's real. They would know that what is eternal, the thing that's gonna last forever, that's the only reality. Lord, let us see You. Let us connect to You. Lord, let us know You. Father, I pray that You would show up in our lives and do what only You can do, Father. Change us, make us new.